Welcome to Heritage Breeds, a podcast series that is brought to you by the Livestock Conservancy, an organization involved in protecting nearly 200 breeds of livestock and poultry. This series will introduce you to the animals, breeders, and people working to save them from extinction. I'm C.S. Wurzberger, your host for today's show. And joining me is Allison Martin, the Conservancy's Research and Technical Programs Director, along with Jeanette Berenger, the Conservancy's Research and Technical Program Manager. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, C.S. We're really excited about this new podcast series.
Yeah, very happy to be here.
This is the Livestock Conservancy's first podcast, so we thought it would be best to start at the beginning. Allison, please give us the introduction. Who is the Livestock Conservancy, and what's your mission?
Thanks, C.S. The Livestock Conservancy is a nonprofit membership organization for the conservation of heritage breeds of livestock and poultry. And your listeners may ask themselves, why is it that you have endangered breeds of livestock and poultry? I mean, anybody who takes a ride out in the country can see that there's plenty of barns. You see cattle in the fields. You might be lucky enough to see some sheep and pigs out there. So why do we talk about them being endangered? Well, you do see a lot of cattle out there. You do see horses. But if you look at them, they're all pretty much the same breed. And so we're actually working with endangered breeds of livestock and poultry. And it seems like kind of an odd concept that they can be endangered. But when you think about it, it's not about the species. So the species would be cattle or horses or dogs. It's about the breeds. And the breed would be Angus or Milking Devon or Chihuahua or German Shepherd. Those are the breeds. And that's the real difference when we're talking about endangered breeds. And so the mission of the Livestock Conservancy is to ensure the future of our agriculture by conserving these endangered breeds and promoting them for use on the farm. And why do I say that they're necessary for the future of our agriculture? Well, they've got a lot of characteristics that the breeds that are widespread don't have. And that's what we're trying to make sure that we keep in the biodiversity of our farm animals and poultry and make sure that they're there for future generations.
And that's a perfect lead in. Jeanette, can you share with us why is your work so important?
Our work is really important to everybody out there, whether you have animals or eat animals or spin wool or what have you, or ride your horses. The easiest way to explain it is kind of like looking at a stock portfolio for agriculture. And as we've learned some hard lessons with the economy as of late, it's really not a smart strategy to put all of your investments into one or two stocks. You want to have a diversity in your portfolio so that if something happens to one or maybe a couple, there's going to be something to fall back on. So for instance, we take a look at cattle, and a vast majority of our cattle out there are Angus or Hereford, or with the dairy cattle, it's Holstein, and we become very dependent on very few cattle breeds out there. And what happens is over the years, we've bred the best of the best of the best, and they're all related to each other at this point. And so, problems are going to creep in when you've got a high level of inbreededness within a population. And how do you fix that? Well, you fix it with the genetics of other breeds that aren't related. And so there are a lot of folks, for instance, in the Holstein business that often use Dutch belt cattle to breed into their herds to improve fertility and birthing ease and try to correct some of the problems that have been occurring with commercial Holstein. But if you didn't have that breed to fall back on, where do you go? And so it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. If you lose a breed, you never know what you're losing when a breed disappears. And it could be a particular disease resistance or, you know, good feet or good mothering abilities. So it's really important to everyone to keep these endangered breeds around, because really it's securing the future of American agriculture.
And now, Allison, can you share with us, and of course, give us some examples of why heritage breeds are in trouble?
Sure, C.S. Our American agriculture changed a lot in the 20th century. People who started out living on farms moved to the cities, moved to towns, and fewer people were farming anymore. And so what that meant was that our farms got larger and larger, and to try to feed all the people that didn't live on farms anymore. And as that happened, they had to use more specialized procedures and more specialized breeds. And so the breeds that work well on these larger farms are the ones that we see today, such as that Jeanette talked about, the Angus cattle. But the breeds that used to be on small farms have kind of been forgotten and became endangered. So we can think about, when we're talking about cattle, we could think about, for example, shorthorn cattle, milking shorthorn cattle, which were at one time the most plentiful breed of cattle in the United States, but they didn't fit into our modern agricultural system, and so now they're very much endangered. The other way that breeds got in trouble is some of them lost their jobs. If you think about draft horses, as we got to be mechanized and we didn't need draft horses to pull our plows or pull our wagons of produce to market, then those draft horses lost their job. And we don't know, you know, in the future what we may need some of those animals like draft horses for. They may represent the future if we have problems with, you know, dependence on oil, for example. So that's just a couple of the examples of how we lost some of the jobs for heritage breeds and why they are in trouble today.
And as we're wrapping up with our final question, Jeanette, can you share with us why is it so important to protect these heritage breeds? Why should our listeners even care and want to get involved with the Livestock Conservancy?
Well, beyond the diversity that these animals offer to American agriculture, one thing that's often overlooked is their importance culturally and historically to America. A great example is the Marsh Tacky horse of South Carolina. These are little horses, once considered the common horse of the Low Country, and they are, you know, not particularly fancy, but they're superbly adapted to life in the Low Country. They've been there for 400 years, and these are animals that thrive in the wet, the hot, the humid. You ever been in the Low Country in the summer? It's like, ugh, you know, it's just really tough to take. But these horses, they've adapted for almost 400 years to thrive in that kind of environment. And from a historical context, these horses are quite important because during the American Revolution, Francis Marion, the famous swamp fox that eluded the British throughout the Revolution, one thing that a lot of folks don't realize is he was a great tactician, but also his army were riding the ultimate all-terrain vehicles for South Carolina. And with the British troops riding the larger, more cumbersome horses, it was no wonder that Marion's men were able to get away, because they were riding these itty-bitty swamp horses that could forage on what was available. They didn't need to bring feed along with them. You know, the horses ate what was there. And, you know, part of Marion's success very well could have relied upon the fact that they had these little horses available. And a lot of folks think that, you know, matter of fact, the Daughters of the American Revolution actually adopted the Marsh Tacky in South Carolina, and now they're the state heritage horse. And who would have thought this, you know, tiny little horse that, you know, nobody outside the Low Country knows about could have played such an important role in American history?
Allison, what would you like to add?
Well, I was going to add two other examples. One is the role that some of these breeds played in our Native American history and culture. For example, the Navajo Churro sheep are the source of that fabulous wool that makes those Navajo rugs that are such an important part of their cultural heritage. And so those sheep still are an important part of the Navajo culture. And then another example on why it's important to protect heritage breeds is that sometimes we've found that these breeds, because they've got these unique adaptations, turn out to be important for human survival too, in this case, for medical research. For example, the Ossaba Island hog, which is an old hog from the coast of Georgia, from Ossaba Island off the coast of Georgia, turns out that one of the traits that they developed in order to survive on this island is that they had to be really economical with their calories during times of drought and famine. And it led to a condition that is identical to human diabetes. And so Ossaba Island hogs are now used in a couple of universities to research new treatments for diabetes, new drugs and so on that people might be able to use for diabetes treatment in people. So that's a couple of reasons why heritage breeds play a really important role in our broader cultural context.
What a terrific interview. Thank you again, Allison and Jeanette, for joining us today. Listeners, be sure to visit heritagebreeds.org to not only learn more about these amazing animals, but how you can get involved with the Livestock Conservancy. In the next podcast, we'll be talking more about what are heritage breeds and why they matter. Thank you again for your interest in conserving rare breeds. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Thank you again for joining us today at Heritage Breeds. We hope this podcast has inspired you to learn more about the animals, breeders, and people working to save them from extinction. Visit heritagebreeds.org and livestockconservancy.org to discover more and get involved. Also, be sure to pick up a copy of the Livestock Conservancy's book, An Introduction to Heritage Breeds. This is a must-have guide for raising and saving heritage breeds. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.